Amen. 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 You guys may be sitting. You guys can take a seat. Thank you, guys. You guys can go to John, 1 John, 1 John. Amen. All right. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. You guys can go to verse 20. Verse 20, 1 John chapter 5. Thank you, guys. It's just, it feels good to be here, and thank you, Brother Mitchell, for inviting me. It's a blessing. This message, I preached it already to our teens and in our teen department, and also I think I preached it in the City Baptist, and it's something that I was reading my Bible, and it was something that was a blessing to me. That's the reason I'm bringing it here, especially knowing you, most of you guys are, you know, coming to college, you guys want to serve God. And that's exactly what we want you to do. We want you to serve God. We want you to, you know, do your 4 years, or some of you 7 years. Amen, Johnny. But anyhow, you know, but we want you to serve God. We want you to get out of here and go do what God wants you to do. And doing that, you know, I see many things that not everybody finishes. You know, not everybody gets out there and do whatever God has called them to do. And it breaks our heart. It really hurts. You know, it really hurts when one of you guys, you know, have to go back home because of something you guys did or something you guys weren't supposed to do. It hurts to call your parents. It hurts to tell them. It hurts to, and all that is because of sin. And I know that I'm preaching to the choir supposedly, right? And I say supposedly because I was there just like you and at one point. And sometimes we can fool a lot of people. And if we're not careful, you know, we might just drop the lantern. We might just drop and not go into battle anymore. And that's what's in my heart. You know, I was reading this passage at the end of 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. It says, Bible says right there, and it says, and we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, the eternal what? Life. You know, I was reading this. It's just an encouragement to me, an encouragement to read these passages and know, man, I serve the living God. You know, it's not a fake God. I serve the living God. And it gives me more encouragement. If you guys go to chapter 1 right there in the same passage, and the Bible says right there, it says that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Man, this is John saying, look, I'm not lying to you guys. I've seen them with my own eyes. You know, it's a different story when somebody tells you, hey, let me tell you about what happened. And how do you know? Oh, it's my friend told me about it. But it's different when somebody says, no, I was right there. You know, I was right there, and I saw him, and I touched him, and I walked with them, and I lived with them. And this is John saying this. It says, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of this word of life. You know, it's an encouragement to see these passages and knowing that this is John saying, look, this is Jesus Christ. This is the Son of God and the Holy Spirit and God himself. And that's what John is trying to put up to us and for us to understand. But then we go to this last verse, and this is the one that was like, okay. The Bible says right there, little children, keep yourself from idols. Amen. I was like, okay, wait a minute. What? Why is John telling us at the end of his letter, you know what, but keep yourself from idols? I believe if John put in the word of God, it's because it's important. And many times, you know, we look upon little things and think, oh, that's just something small, and it doesn't matter. It's a small sin. It's a small something that nobody cares about. But those are the small things that are going to ruin our lives. And those are the small things that we should be looking upon and say, okay, what do I have? What idols do I have that are keeping me from serving God? You know, many times we ask ourselves, why is my bus route? Why is my ministry so awkward and so slow? And why we only bring in 20 or 15 people? Maybe it's because we have an idol that we have there, and God knows about it. You know, God's saying right here in His Word, God is saying, look, I want you to know who you serve. I want you to know that you don't just serve any God. You serve the God that wants to be a blessing to your life. And we're going to see this right now. And that's why I was so intrigued and understanding this. I'm like, okay, what does it mean? As I look into this passage, I wonder why at the end this letter is reminding us to be aware of idols. Again, I just told you, it's important for us to understand just the little things. Understand how severe it is to neglect even the things that we think they're not too dangerous. This letter, again, was written to the church in Ephesus. You know, that was a church that was struggling with idols. It was a church that was struggling with idolatry. And he's saying this in this final, at his old age, the apostle finds a note. Little children. And you know, again, I want you to understand today, little children, I know you don't like me to call you that, but that's what John is telling us, is compared, look, I'm old and you're young and you're going to start in your ministry. Just understand this. And that's my heart. And that was me when I was reading this passage. I was telling the guys, man, I was in my knees asking God, please help me. What is it there that is hindering me for you to use me even more? For you to for me to witness to more people, for me to be an impact in other people's lives, and these little things, these small idols that sometimes we have in our lives is what's gonna keep us away from serving God. You know, right here we're understanding idols is anything that steals God's place in our lives. You know, we're thinking idols, and then right away we think of the Virgin Mary right over there by Little Village and everything. No, it's not talking about that. It is not talking about that. Oh, yeah, but I'm not as wicked as them because they do literally have idols and they worship them. That's not what it's talking about. You know, it's talking about anything that's stealing the place of God in your life. And again, I'm just letting you know, what is stealing the place of God in your life? What is it that you're doing that's more important than serving God, than reading your Bible, than spending time and praying and spending time and witnessing to people? What is it? Oh, Brother Juan, but you know, we go soul winning all Saturday night, really? You know, I'm telling you, really? I said it, there we go. And guys, again, what is keeping from you to serve God? What is that small idol? To understand this again, you know, we have to understand what the Word of God right here is trying to tell us. And if we go to 1 Corinthians, I have it right here. The Bible says, Paul wrote, neither be ye idolaters, as were the some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. You know, and that was something that is talking about the old days. But I'm just saying, you know, man, how and nowadays people are doing this all the time. And then we ask, why is America, you know, the way it is? This is why America's the way it is. We're doing other things, except reading our Bible, except walking with God, except raising our children in a Christian family. You know, you're so busy in your mind saying, oh, yeah, ministry, but I got to get a good job so I can afford. What? Really? So you don't depend on God? And you know what the Word of God is saying this, and the first thing I see here, the people who have, again, at verse 5, chapter 5, go right there, chapter 5, we're in 1 John, chapter 5, verse 1. Who is he talking to? The Bible says right here, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of what? Everyone that loveth him, that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. So it, first of all, it's speaking to those that believe in Christ. Now the question is, do you believe? Because if you don't believe, then this is not applicable in your life. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Oh, Brother Juan, what are you talking about? I'm saved. Then why do you behave the way you behave? Oh, brother, why? You don't know. Then why? Why are you doing things that you know are against what the Bible teaches us to do? Young man, why are you looking at things that are going to destroy your life? Why? Young lady, why are you texting things that you're not supposed to be doing? Why? Aren't you a child of God? Aren't you a children of God? And that's what the Word of God is saying. Look, I'm speaking to people that are believers, the people that believe in God, born-again Christians. Amen to that. And that's exactly who he's speaking today. And again, the question is, do you believe? And if you believe that you're born again and that and according to the Word of God, again, then why do we keep on doing what we're doing? It goes back to that idol. What's your idol? And again, it just reminds me, of course, I'm preaching to young men that want, young ladies that want to serve God. But something small is going to keep you away from doing that. And again, that's why John is saying at the end, children, listen to me. Beware. Beware of idols. Beware of that that's holding you back, and you know exactly what's holding you back. You know, it can be a girl. Young ladies, it can be a guy. And I can go on and on and on and on. But you only know that. I don't know your heart. So the Word of God is saying here, look, I want you to understand. First of all, understand that I'm trying to talk to people that are Christians that already believed in Christ. In verse 4, now again, that Christians keep his commandments. We see this in verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep what? His commandments. What are God's commandments? You know, a pastor preaches on something, do you mock him? Are you keeping God's commandments? I started saying, you know what? Okay, you believe in Christ. You believe in God. Yeah, you're saved. And I asked you, are you really saved? Are you heaven bound? And if you say yes, then are you keeping his commandments? Let's just get real now. Hey, pay attention. I'm serious. I know it's getting awkward. Because probably you're not keeping his commandments. Young ladies and young men, it's so important to understand this passage of the Bible. And it says, it keeps on saying, for this is love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. It should be a joy serving God. It should be a joy doing right. It should be a joy reading your Bible. It should be a joy, you know, going soul winning. It should be a joy listening to pastor preaching and say, man, I needed that, and come to the altar. You know, first we see this. We see that he's speaking to believers. Next, we see that he's speaking to Christians to keep his commandments. And the verse right here, and why is that reason? If you guys go to verse 6. Bible says right there, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and what? And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is what? For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the what? And those three are what? Are one. Why do this? Who God is? And we're serving, I started saying this, we're serving the real true God. Young ladies, we're singing right now. Man, it was so awesome. They didn't know what I was going to preach. We're serving the true God. And I don't know how many times to tell you this, but again, when I was reading this passage and I was trying to understand it, I was like, God, thank you. Because, I mean, everything could go downhill, but reminding myself that I'm serving the true God keeps me going. And you know what? Right here is saying, there's a Word of God. And in 9 it says, if we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on his Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his what? Of his Son. You know, the Word of God is saying, you know what? We serve the true God. This is Jesus Christ. Christ is God. Christ is the Holy Spirit. And we see this in the Word of God. Young man and young lady, you're serving the true God. And if that doesn't get you going, man, I don't know what's going to get you going. You know, the reason why we God doesn't bless our ministries, and we're going to see this later on, but the reason why is because you don't believe God is the true God. You know, you live your life in mystery and not understanding, you know what, God is the true God. And God's saying this right here, and if you guys go to verse 13, in the same passage, verse 13. Again, John is speaking to Christians. So that they know that they have eternal life. And 13, it says this. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal what? And that you may believe in the name of the Son of who? Of God. Brother, why we know all this? We know what you're... I know that. But the Word of God keeps on going. And it doesn't just end here. And that's why I want to try to for you to understand. And again, the Word of God is saying right here. Where was I? 13, right? 14. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth who? Us. You know, God wants to answer your prayers. He wants to give you exactly and beyond what you deserve. But the Word of God says right there. According to who, what? His will. And just the question, are you doing God's will? Because you can come into college but not do God's will. Are you doing God's will? Are you doing exactly what God wants you to do? And right there, if we keep on going, the Bible says in verse 16, it says, if any man see his brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. You know, that's another thing that got me studying a little bit. Like, what does this sin unto death mean? You know, and just trying to study, this is the case where a believer sins persistently and willfully, resulting in physical death. You know, when you keep on sinning, knowing you're sinning. And that's exactly where I want to go today. You know, those idols that are in our lives that you know is wrong, that you're doing, that you know is wrong, you keep on doing it, thinking nothing's going to happen to you. Oh, I can get away with this sin. I can get away with texting. I can get away with sending pictures. I can get away with speaking or whatever you're doing that is against what the will of God is telling you to do. And the Bible is saying right here in verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin. And there is sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one touches him not. You know, the Word of God is trying to tell us, you know, that again, this is the result of consistently be sinning and sinning and sinning and knowing that you're doing it. And the Word of God saying, you know what, this is going to end to death. And I know it's scary, but you know what, I'm just, again, we see this illustration in the Bible, and not only in the Bible, I can tell you names after name of people that were believers that kept on sinning, and we were telling them. You know, I remember when I was in the Bible Institute and we were bringing this young man to church, and he started coming. He out of the blue, he started talking to a girl from our church, and then the girl a few months after, he's like, you know what? No, it's not going to work out, and he just stopped coming to church. He went back to the neighbor he was brought up, and I remember going visiting him, knocking his door, and I believe he was a Christian. Because I saw when God changed his life and everything was going, and we knocked his door, and he's like, you know what? Don't tell me anything. And he just started cursing and doing, I mean, just saying a bunch of things, and even to God. He said, I don't want to go to church. And I was just in the corner, and I'm like, oh, Lord, please help him. You know, he knew what he was doing. And the Bible, again, we see people like Ananias and Sapphira that sinned knowing that they were doing wrong. What happened to them? They died. What happened to them? They got destroyed. We see this in the Bible. If you guys go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, just please go right there really quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This young man that I was talking about. did something. They put him in jail. They gave him life in prison. And not even a year passed when I went to visit his brother. He told me, you know what? He passed away. He died suddenly in prison. And that just, that really, God, you know, got a hold of me and be like, man, you better not be playing with the things of God. The Bible says right there in chapter 5, verse 1. 1 Corinthians says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among who? And such fornication is not so much as named among Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I barely, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such one unto who? For the destruction of the what? That the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Again, you know, this is Paul saying, you know what? Is somebody sinning knowing he's sinning? And he's just saying, you know, I have the right as a pastor or to pray for the destruction. That's what the word of God is saying, man. That is scary. And that's what Paul's saying. He's saying right here, you know what? Let's pray that God has destroyed his body, what? So he can save his spirit when he goes to heaven. Because he's talking about a believer. Again, it says right there in verse 6, it says, your glorying is not good. Knowing ye not that that little leaveth the whole lump. No, a little sin is going to destroy much. And it's saying to the people there, because they weren't doing nothing about it. And Paul's talking to the church saying, you know what? There's sin in your church and you're doing nothing about it. And you know that people are sinning and you're speaking not and you're doing nothing. You know what? I'm going to pray that God takes them away. And the Bible here, John, is saying the same thing. It's saying, you know what? That sin of death, when you know you're doing sin and you don't repent. When you know it's wrong and you don't repent. Or don't we believe the Bible? You know, I'm just speaking Bible. I know it's not something common or something we like to hear, but that just keeps me in line with the Word of God. That just keeps me, you know, I'm like, Lord, please help me. Man, it scares me. And thankfully, we got the Word of God, and God's saying that. And if you go to Acts really quick, chapter 5. Again, we find something in the same thing right here, Acts chapter 5. Now he's speaking, Paul, to the church. Verse 1, it says, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought the certain part and laid at it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thy heart to lie to the what? And keep back part of the price of the land. Again, you know the story. You know what gets me here is that, man, can we lie to the Holy Spirit? Can we lie to the Holy Ghost? You know, many of you think you could. And I hope you understand this message is a warning for some of you that know you're sinning and have him repent. You know you're doing wrong. Or you know somebody that's sinning. And you're helping them out. You know, the Word of God saying, you know what? They knew. They lied to the Holy Spirit. You can't lie to God. Everything's going to come out to light. And we see this, and if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, really quick, chapter 11, verse 30. The Bible says right here, 11:30 says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many what? It's not talking about sleeping. It's talking about passing away. Because they were playing with the things of God. Young man, young lady, you can't play with the things of God. That's why in the verse over here at the end, and I see some of you guys, you know, hopefully you understand. That's why at the end right here, it says, little children, keep yourself from idols. What is that sin that has become an idol in your heart? Oh, Brother Perez, there's nothing wrong with this. Oh, there's nothing wrong with me doing this. What's keeping you? You know what? Because my word of God, my Bible tells me that you can't play with the things of God. What are you doing today that God sees you and understands, you know, and you're sinning and you know that you purposely are sinning? That's the reason why I was telling you in the beginning, when I started reading this and I started understanding, I was on my knees and I was like, God, if there's something that I'm doing wrong, please forgive me. Lord, you know my heart. If there's something that I'm doing that is keeping me from doing what I have to do, a small idol, am I on my phone too much, or am I in the TV too much, or am I spending more time with other people than, instead of reading your Bible and spending time with you? What is it, God? What is it that's keeping me away? Maybe it's not sin. Maybe it's something so innocent, but it's keeping you away from God. What is it? You know, because the Word of God is saying at the end, little children, keep yourself from idols. You know, that's the thing that's going to destroy your life, that's going to take you away from coming to House Anderson College. That's taking you away that one day God wants to use you in a church and wants to use your life and your wife's life. That's going to keep you away, that sin that you're hiding. You know, if I was you, I would come to God and I'll say, God, please forgive me. Oh, Lord, please help me understand what is keeping me from you using me. And sometimes we question ourselves. Why is God not blessing my bus route? Why is God not blessing my Sunday school? Maybe there's sin there. Maybe there's something you haven't confessed to God. And young men, again, I was telling you, you know, that's why I love 1 John, because it tells you who God is. And then it tells you, look, God wants to give you everything. God wants to bless your life. But you have to be in His will. And that's the reason why at the end it got me. It's like, okay, what are the idols in my life? And I hope you have the same heart. What's keeping you? What are you doing? I mean, because for the eyes, man, you guys are, man, tremendous. I don't know your heart. God knows your heart, young lady and young man. God knows exactly what you're doing. Exactly what you're hiding. And in my Bible, it says, if you know you're sinning and you keep on doing it, God's going to take care of you. Oh, maybe He won't take you to heaven. But He's going to bring that sin to light. And you're going to be ashamed. Every head bow, every eyes closed. Young man, young lady, who are we fooling? I mean, God sees you. God sees exactly what you're doing. And if we're honest, we all struggle. You know, the difference between Saul and David is that David right away repented. Saul was stubborn. Saul was saying, I'm the king. Why should I repent? I've done nothing wrong. And David was humble enough to ask God to forgive him. Are you going to be humble enough to ask God to forgive you? I'm not doubting you're saved. But are you holding back? You have something. You have a sin in your heart. You're practicing sin. Why don't you confess it? Come to the altar. Or even there where you're at. Open your heart to God, because you can't hide anything.